Welcome to NHL Draft Class. My name is Adam Kimmelman. Here, as always, my colleague, Mike Morial. Mike, how are you?
Doing very good, Adam. I hope you and yours are safe and healthy, and we're doing okay here. We're just counting the days, right, Adam? It's, you know, October 6th, 7th. It's coming up pretty quickly. A couple more weeks, and we'll get to know which teams are going to slot and select which players. So it's going to be interesting to see. And, you know, last week we had Marco Rossi, one of the top forwards of this draft class. And this week we have a very, very good elite defenseman who could be picked among the top five, top eight selections.
Yeah, Jamie Drysdale from the Erie Otters of the Ontario Hockey League is going to join us today. 47 points in 49 games. World Juniors gold medal as a 17-year-old. No shortage of impressive qualities from Jamie Drysdale. He is at the top of a very deep board of defensemen. Jake Sanderson from the U.S. National Team program, a former NHL draft class guest. Caden Gooley from Prince Albert and Braden Schneider from Brandon in the Western League. You know, there's no shortage of defensemen available for this year's draft, but I think it's pretty plain to see that Jamie Drysdale's ahead of that class.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You know, you think of the Erie Otters, Adam, right? You think of Connor McDavid, Alex DeBrincat, Dylan Strome, some real high-end players that were drafted high in the draft. And obviously, McDavid, number one to the Oilers. But the Otters have this other talented top-end talent here in defenseman Jamie Drysdale. He looks to be the uncontested top defenseman. You mentioned quite a few others that are high-end in this draft. And, you know, and the thing that's impressive about this draft and those defensemen that you mentioned was, you know, among the top six defensemen that I believe will be taken possibly in the opening two rounds of this draft, five play for different leagues and all have good size, skating ability, and they each bring their own unique elements. You know, we mentioned Drysdale, who we'll speak with today. Jake Sanderson of the USA Development Program, Caden Gooley, Prince Albert, Braden Schneider from Brandon in the dub as well, Justin Barron, a defenseman from Halifax in the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League. And then, you know, you look at a guy, you go to Malmo in Sweden, you know, Helge Grons, who is number six among all skaters in the international ranks. So quite a select. A selection of good quality defensemen here to choose from. And I think when you look at the top five, top six teams that have picks in the first round, you know, I keep going back to the Ottawa Senators. They have picks 3 and 5 and 28 in this draft. And, you know, obviously the left side is already set. They got Thomas Chabot, Eric Branstrom are leading the way there, but the right side is still a little bit different there for the Ottawa Senators. They drafted Jacob Bernard Docker and Lassie Thompson in each of the last two drafts. And you know, while they may be very well, they could turn around to be impact players, I think Drysdale could be the perfect fit behind Chabot and maybe one day a number one for the club.
Yeah, I think if you're sitting there at five and, you know, we've all done our mock drafts and we think with number three, at least I do, that Tim Stützle, who's going to be the best forward available in that spot, is going to be their pick at three. At five, the next best player available to me is Jamie Drysdale, regardless of position. He's a right-shot defenseman who moves the puck. You know, Thomas Chabot does that. You know, Eric Branstrom is a puck-moving guy. But neither one of those guys has the skating ability or the puck skills that a Jamie Drysdale has as a right shot. I think, you know, and we've seen it with Quinn Hughes. We've seen guys who are of smaller stature with elite offensive skills, they can survive and thrive in the NHL today. Hughes is a Calder Trophy finalist. He arguably was Vancouver's best player, most important player all season and through the playoffs. So, you know, Byfield is of similar, Drysdale is of similar size. So I would think if I'm the Ottawa Senator sitting there at number five and Jamie Drysdale still on the board, he's absolutely the guy I'm going for.
Yeah, you know, Thomas Chabot has kind of that feistiness, that aggressiveness in his game. I think it would be a great compliment to have the two of them one day paired together. Obviously, we don't know if Jamie Drysdale is NHL ready. I think two of us can agree that maybe going back to Erie for at least another season would be to his benefit, maybe two seasons. But it's funny, you know, he goes about 5'11", 175 pounds, but he's that right-hand shot, and it's tough to find those good quality – transitional defensemen that are able to move the puck and get it to the forwards and, you know, swing it out off the transition along the boards and half boards, as Jamie Drysdale would be able to do. And, you know, I think back to, you know, his play at the World Junior Championship too, Adam. I was so impressed with what he was able to do, you know, filling in for Bowen Byram, you know, when Bowen Byram was injured there or hurt and was able to come in and do what he did. I mean, it takes a lot for a 17-year-old to exhibit the poise and the patience and the wherewithal and what you're doing against quality athletes in that tournament. And Drysdale was able to do that. So I think, you know, we both kind of think that he would be a nice fit for Ottawa, but wouldn't surprise us either if someone maybe took a chance, you know, earlier than the fifth pick, maybe at four, maybe someone needs that transitional force. And Jamie Drysdale certainly is that.
Well, sure. You know, there's absolutely that chance Detroit takes him at four. You know, I know they took Mart Sider last year. They have some decent defensemen in the pipeline, but you can listen, any team would love to have a player the caliber of Jamie Drysdale as part of their prospect development group. But let's get to Jamie now. Let's hear from him and talk to him about his season. And as Mike said, the World Junior Championship and the draft upcoming. Jamie, how are you? Thanks for coming on NHL Draft Class with us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. And I'm doing well. The family's doing pretty good. Just kind of laying low these days, obviously getting the training and skates in. But other than that, just kind of taking it easy. So it's been pretty good.
Hey, Jamie, what did you prioritize this summer? You know, what were the most important things you focused on that you feel will help you become an even better player in 2020, 2021?
Well, for me, there were coming out of the season, there were two main things I wanted to obviously focus on. That was one, getting bigger, obviously, putting on some size and strength. And I think that would benefit me. And two was my shot, developing that. I think people would see me as a pass first guy. And if I had that shot threat, then it would, make me more of a threat on the ice if I could, be a good shooter. And, throughout this off season, I've as well changed my diet. I'm on a new diet, which is making me feel consistently a lot better on the ice and in the gym. So that's the other thing that I kind of wanted to work on and have worked on through this kind of quarantine summer.
So, Jamie, speaking of workouts, during the time period when gyms were closed, I heard you and your parents kind of tore up the living room at the house, mm-hmm. and so you'd have a place to work out. Can you tell people the story there?
Yeah. So that's exactly what we did. We obviously had to kind of stay at your house. So what we did is I already had a bench, I had a bike, and a few dumbbells, but we just ordered like a decent amount of dumbbells, some kettlebells, and then we have bands, just a lot of accessory stuff that I used. And I just texted my trainer, reached out to him saying like, what are some of the things that I need? And he sent me a list and we kind of just went off and bought those. And, so got some family workouts in for, the first start of quarantine, which was nice to just kind of spend some time and get some work done.
Nice. The family that works out together can stay together.
Exactly.
I want to go back to the beginning of this season, which seems, you know, it's a year ago at this point, basically, but every player sets goals for themselves. What were yours, you know, both from an individual standpoint, from a team standpoint? Did you reach them? Were you happy with how your season went?
Yeah. I think going into this year, I didn't have any really point goals or anything like that. For me, it was more so just I wanted to try and be a difference maker every time I was on the ice. I think that was just like a main thing that I wanted to try and do every time I had the opportunity to be on the ice. And I think that I had a pretty good season. Obviously could have been better. I think it went well. And coming in, I wasn't really expecting World Juniors to be in the question. But you know, I think that once I got the opportunities to continue to move forward in the camps and the games, I think that it became more of a, you know, like I can actually make this team. And then once I had that experience, it was obviously an unbelievable one and probably the best experience of my life.
Well, speaking of World Juniors, it's a rare feat for a 17-year-old to represent Canada at that tournament, that World Junior Championship. I mean, the list includes six others since 91, Aaron Ekblad, Ryan Ellis, Jay Bouwmeester, Chris Phillips, Wade Redden, Scott Niedermeyer. what did you take away from your experience at the World Juniors as a 17-year-old?
Yeah, I took away a lot of things. I think that the main things were just how being around that caliber of player, I think that it was something that was really implemented was play the role that you're given and do it to the best of your ability, because in the end, that's how a team's going to win. Obviously, they were on that team a lot. Pretty much everyone was the top player on their club team, or one of the top players. So I think that once you just get everyone to kind of drop the egos at the door and just know that you're there for one goal and one goal only, it's a pretty deadly combination, I think. So that was probably the main thing that I took, is just if you want to win as a team, you all need to play your role and embrace it and do the best you can for the guy beside you. So I think that was probably the biggest thing that I took, and just, you know, like I've been saying, the caliber of players in that locker room and how they all acted on the ice and practices off the ice in the hotels and things like that is obviously one of the reasons that they're all there. And I think that was definitely a good learning moment as well.
Well, you certainly played a significant role, so congrats on that gold medal. I'm curious, Jamie, is there a tendency to maybe try and do too much as an offensive defenseman, or is it strictly based on game flow or tendencies in a player?
I think it depends. I think for some, obviously some nights you're feeling it a little bit more than others. So I think that would definitely play a role. I know for me personally, in my 16-year-old year, my rookie year, there were definitely a couple times where, you know, I maybe tried to force things. But I think that that's kind of the part of developing your game. And as you get older, I think that it's just realizing when there's a time and place for everything. And I think that jumping in at the right time and place is something that can be developed and something that you need to learn, look for, you know, different reads on the ice and where you can go, where you can't go. So I think that there's definitely sometimes when you can force it, for sure. But I think that if you can kind of dial it in to pick in the right places and times, then you'll be good.
Speaking of offensive defensemen, especially younger ones, we've seen a few of them step up in big ways here during the Stanley Cup playoffs. You know, Miro Heiskanen of the Stars, Cal McCarr of the Avalanche, Quinn Hughes of the Canucks. Are those the guys that you watch to try to model your game after?
Yeah, for sure. I think that they definitely are. Those three guys in particular, like you just named, I think that you see the kind of confidence that they have with the puck and how they want to control the play. They want to make a difference out there every time they have it. And I think that that's something that I want to be able to do. And, you know, how they played such a big role, and still, I guess, for Miro, still playing a big role for his team in the playoffs. It's just something that I think you look at and kind of gets you a little bit excited, just because you see guys at that age, first or second year in the league, I think making that impact, it's really fun to watch. And I think that I definitely try and take little things from their game and put them into mine, for sure.
Hey, Jamie, I'm curious, how did you get involved in hockey, and have you always played defense given your offensive ability?
Yeah, so I kind of started on the backyard rink with my dad used to build a backyard rink every winter. So that was obviously something really fun. And me and my older brother would love to get out there. And so that's kind of where it started for me. And so I started as a forward, but I was still pretty young. So I think I played forward till around I was 9. So for 2 or 3 years. And then I switched with a buddy on my team, and we just kind of stuck. I've been a D up until now, and he's been a forward. So it's worked out well, I think. And, you know, that's kind of the story behind it.
Well, it certainly has worked out well for you. Now, I know you finished second in the West in the 2019-20 OHL coaches poll for smartest player and best offensive defenseman. Obviously, two assets so vital in today's game as a defenseman. Is there an area to your game you feel might be underrated or maybe not garnering enough attention?
You know, I think there's definitely always been criticism about my defensive game. And I think that that's an area where in my 16-year-old year, it definitely needed a lot of development, and it still does. But I think that might be one area. I think I've over the past 2 years taken a lot of time, and with my D coach, looking at video, looking at different plays, and and just doing everything I can to develop that defensive side of the game, because at the end of the day, I want to be able to be trustworthy in both ends. And I think that it's come a long way. You know, I'm pretty confident in my defensive game, and I think that that's probably one area where, you know, people you might think offensive D, and he doesn't know how to play actual defense. So I think that that's an area where I definitely can continue to develop, continue to get a lot better at. But maybe if there was an area, I think that that would maybe be a bit underrated.
All right, so let's cue in on your defensive abilities, and I'm going to ask you to give me the scouting report. There's a couple of really top-end forwards that you've played against the Ontario League, and I'm going to give you a couple of names. I want to hear the Jamie Drysdale scouting report on these guys. And let's start with Quinton Byfield from Sudbury.
Yeah, well, I think I've played against Q my whole life, pretty much played with and against him. I think it's pretty fun to see and to see what he can do on the ice. You know, he's a 6'4", 220. He's obviously got the size, and when you add the speed and the skill that he has, it's a pretty dangerous threat coming down. You know, I always enjoy playing against him because it's always such a challenge. And I think that, you know, like I said, the size, the speed, and the hands that he has and possesses, I think it's a pretty dangerous threat. And you don't really want to see him on the other end of the ice. So he's obviously a heck of a player.
So a guy a little bit closer to your size is Cole Perfetti from Saginaw. What makes him so dangerous?
Yeah, that's another guy I've kind of played with and against growing up. He's that guy, when he has the puck, he can just see some plays that, you know, not a lot of people can. I think that that's probably one of the most special things about him is, you know, like I just said, he can see plays that not a lot of people can. And when you add the finish that he has, he's really that dual threat on the ice. And he's obviously a really dangerous guy on the half wall and the power player. On zone entries, he really has the ability to slow the game down and just make it tough on you. So he's a heck of a player as well.
And there's two guys from the Ottawa 67s. Let's take them as one because they played a lot on the same line together. Marco Rossi and Jack Quinn. How hard were they to defend when they were together, when they were apart? What makes those guys special?
Yeah, well, I only played Jack Quinn and Marco Rossi, I think, twice. Maybe three times over the past 2 years. So, from what I know, I think they're obviously both unbelievable. Marco, he's a horse out there. I think from what I remember, he's a really really strong two way center with unbelievable finish, unbelievable offensive kind of tools, and in front of the net, he's really good. So, he's definitely an awesome player and one you need to look out for on the ice. And then Quinner, I had we played with him on the, actually him and Marco at the CHL prospects game. And he's obviously a shooter. He can score, he can put the puck in the net, and he's a good skater as well. So I think that when you have the finesse and finish of him, and then the kind of playmaking ability and offensive tools of Marco, I think when you put them on the same line, it's definitely pretty dangerous and one that you need to look out for on the ice.
So, Jamie, I want to go back to something on Quinton Byfield for a minute. Everybody's talked about him. He's probably going to be the number two or the number three pick in the draft. How about a story from Quinton, from playing with him, playing against him, that maybe tells a little bit more of his personality or something funny that you remember from, you know, a game, a tournament, a practice, whatever?
I don't know. I think all I can remember is every time growing up, every time I'd kind of just be – matched up against Q every time he was on the ice. My coach would tell me to go on the ice, and he was definitely a challenge, and he knew it. He knew that I was always up against him, so there would always be chirping between us because we know each other. We'd play together and in spring hockey, so it was always, I think it was definitely fun for both of us when we got that matchup. Obviously, he was on York Simcoe, I was on the Marlies, and we didn't get to play each other often, but when we did, I think it was definitely a fun time for both of us. I was always matched up against him, so definitely a challenge for me, and you know, I hope it was for him as well. So that's kind of all I have. I there's not too many things that I can think of right off the top of my head.
Wow, Adam, I think when, you know, whenever Jamie is done with ice hockey, whenever that happens, you know, I have a new co-host here on NHL Draft Class, Jamie Drysdale. Wow, he knows how to rate these kids and scout them.
Jamie, if you want to put up with him, he's all yours. I'll deliver him to your house. Nice little box.
He would. Hey, Jamie, the draft is coming up, obviously, October 6th, 7th. Where are you going to be watching the draft? You know, who's going to be there with you?
Yeah. Well, right now, I think it's at me watching at my house. And then in regards to who's going to be with me, I think right now it's obviously depending on numbers and whatnot with that and what you're allowed. I think it's me and my best family friends that I'm going to be watching it with. So they're a family of five, and it's kind of cool. My dad grew up with his dad since grade seven. Our moms met in university, and one of my best buddies, he's there, and he's a year older than me. So I think I'll be watching it with them, and so it would be obviously a really special day.
So, Jamie, we've heard of a few prospects going to play in Europe for this season because we don't know the date of when the NHL season is going to start. I know the OHL has a tentative start date, but, mm-hmm. you know, there's so much uncertainty. Have you made any decisions on what you're going to do for next season yet, or are you going to wait until after the draft to make that decision? What's your plan?
Right now, I think it's just right now I plan on probably going back to the OHL. I think that would be the plan for right now, depending on dates, obviously. But there isn't really any certain decisions made. We'll see what happens. I think it's kind of just a take it by day, take it by year kind of thing, and we'll see what happens. I think you can't really, so much can change, I guess, these days. So it's kind of still up in the air.
Well, this was great stuff, Jamie. Thanks for taking the time to speak with us today on NHL Draft Class, and best of luck to you and your continued training and the upcoming draft.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me.
Thanks again to Jamie Drysdale for joining us on NHL Draft Class. And Mike, you know, his scouting breakdowns on some of those guys was top notch.
It was. I enjoyed listening to him, and you know, it's so good. I mean, we could sit here and spew material and give the fans our thoughts on what we think makes these players so special, but to hear it from a player that's gone against these athletes, these players, is something I think we all want to hear. And he did it so eloquently. I was impressed. I was impressed with what he was able to do, Adam. It was great to hear.
So speaking of impressive, Jamie Drysdale, I think we can kind of say he's the best defenseman in this year's draft class. So number two, I would say, would be Jake Sanderson from the U.S. national team program. And we mentioned Caden Gooley and Braden Schneider and Justin Barron up front. So let me ask you this. What do you think is smaller, the gap between number one Drysdale, number two Sanderson, or that next group of Sanderson, Gooley, Schneider, and I guess we could put Barron in there? What's smaller?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think the gap between Drysdale and Sanderson is smaller, because I think Drysdale and Sanderson are the two elite defensemen of this draft class. I think from there, then you kind of looking at maybe a range of about 13 to 25 to 31 among those other defensemen. Look, Drysdale, as we've talked about, you know, a right-hand shot. He's capable of running the power play. He drives offense with his skating and elite hockey sense. Sanderson, on the other hand, has more of that edginess, has more of that sandpaper to his game. You know, obviously he's got some pedigree there, the son of NHL forward Jeff Sanderson, a real mobile puck mover. He's a dominant, has that dominant defensive mindset. And I guess during the year, Adam, and we've seen this, he steadily improved his offensive game. At least that's what we've heard from scouts. That's what we've seen on tape. Whereas Drysdale has that offensive game. He can bring it. And he told us in our interview with him that, you know, he has an improving defensive game, and that's an area that maybe is a little underrated in his game. So he knows that he has to improve defensively, whereas I think Sanderson is already there. He has that defensive defenseman mindset. And in addition to that, some sandpaper, and he's got that grit. He can punish players that are coming down on him. And he did that as one of the youngest players playing against NCAA players throughout the course of the year.
Yeah, they're two entirely different players. Drysdale's game is built on his legs and his skating. Sanderson has that two-way element to him. Doesn't have the elite offensive upside. I don't know if he's going to be your your power play quarterback in the NHL, even though, like you said, his offensive game is developing. I think Drysdale is that guy. To me, he is the guy if I'm looking for a defenseman. I think the gap with Sanderson might be a little bit bigger. You know, when you look at our mock drafts, we had him going top 10. That's not like a great slight on Jake Sanderson. We all think he's a top 10 player. And then I think it opens up a little bit with Gouley and Schneider and Barron. And you mentioned Helge Grans from Sweden, and William Wallander is another top end guy we're going to be hearing about. If it's me and I have the choice between A or B, I'm going to take Drysdale. Right-handed shot, I think, is a big, big deal, especially one with those kind of puck skills. But Jake Sanderson's going to be a guy who I think can be a really good NHL player for a very long time. But I think there's really no question that Drysdale's the better option.
Yeah, and taking nothing away from those other defensemen that we mentioned in that, you know, when talking about, you know, Drysdale and Sanderson, and then those other defensemen that are there, Caden Gouley from Prince Albert, a left-handed shot. He played big minutes in the WHL this year. Plays at a high pace, you know, is real effective in all areas of the ice, and, you know, regarded as that two-way defenseman as well. Can skate, has that hard shot, imposing size, goes about 6'2", 186. Braden Schneider from Brandon in the Dub, a right-handed defenseman. He can, you know, play the power play. We spoke to John Williams, who was a guest of ours on NHL draft class a few months ago. You know, Schneider's that guy that can play the power play. He can play the penalty kill. He has that compete level and smarts about him. You know, he's a more physically developed player and finishes checks with authority in all areas. So Schneider's another player I think a lot of teams would consider in the mid-range first round. And then, you know, we talked about Justin Barron, another right-handed shot, Adam. So a lot of right-handed shots here. But, you know, Barron's a guy from Halifax in the Q. It's a league that's not normally known for its defensive acumen. You know, you look at the Q, you think of like high-powered forward offensive players. But Barron is in that area as a defenseman, despite the fact he missed 3 months with that blood clot. And he's still ranked, you know, number 16 here and among North American skaters in Central Scouting's final rank. So, you know, exceptional skater, you know, can make that smooth transition from his defensive end. Obviously not a lot of viewings in the regular season on Barron this year, but you know, when he played with authority, he had an impact on the game. And I think scouts like that in a player.
The guy, I want to keep it in the queue for a minute. The guy I really liked, and we had the chance to see him in person at Top Prospects, but I really enjoyed watching him. I saw him on video. It was Jeremy Poirier from St. John. Scored 20 goals this year. Huge, huge high-risk, high-reward guy. Huge player in that regard. Really needs to clean up his defensive game. However, there is big potential there. He's a guy that I watched him really closely at that Top Prospect game because I really enjoyed watching him on video. Man, if he can get just a little bit better defensively, he's going to be a really – he has a chance to be a force because with that shot and the skating and the offensive head for the game, he's not afraid to play physically. I think he's got some hockey IQ and some defensive zone stuff he's got to work on. But I see a you know, maybe a more physical Shane Gostisbehere there, a guy just with a great offensive edge for the offensive head for the game, a little bit higher risk, higher reward at this point. But, man, in the right system with the right development, he's a guy I think that can be a lot of fun to watch and a huge asset to any team looking to bulk up on its power play, bulk up on some offense from its defense, and that's the way the game is played now. You need to attack in groups of five, and Poirier is a guy who can lead the rush. He can be a support guy, great skater. Yeah, I'm a big fan. I'm really curious to see where he ends up in the draft this year.
Imagine that. Two players from the Q we're talking about in you know, top 10 among defensemen that could go in this draft. It's great to see. But, yeah, you're right. Poirier led QMJHL defensemen with 20 goals, 261 shots on goal, was second with 53 points, played in 64 games. As you mentioned, good size at 6 foot, about 196. You know, he logged a ton of minutes for St. John this year. So he is definitely a defenseman, you know, that's right there. Damon Hunt, another one from Moose Jaw in the Western Hockey League, you know, I think is another defenseman that I know he's ranked number 25 in Central Scouting's final ranks. You know, he's another player that could go in the first round. Good two-way defenseman, plays a good team game, smart, physical, works hard, goes about 6 foot, 198. He's a left-hander. I know he needed surgery to repair a laceration on his arm. I believe it was a skate blade he received on skate December cut. 3rd. Yeah, yeah, skate cut. But still finished with 15 points. They were all assists for the Warriors this season. And he was an assistant captain for Moose Jaw. So he's had 37 points in 94 career WHL games. I like Damon Hunt as a flyer as well, Adam. Maybe late first round, early second. But another defenseman that with the proper development will grow and mature and learn how to play the game at the next level.
So if you want to catch up on any of your studying on these guys that we mentioned, because we're about 2 weeks out from the draft as we record this on September 21st, you've got time to go back and to listen to our entire catalog of podcasts, talk to some of the top scouts, top players, the guys from Central Scouting who have seen all of these guys multiple times, studied them on video, the top players. We talked to Marco Rossi from the Ottawa 67s last week, Jake Sanderson, who you heard us talk about earlier from the U.S. National Team Program, Quentin Byfield, Alexi Lafreniere, Tim Stützle, Anton Lundell. You got time to study if you want to know who your team's going to pick. NHL draft class is the place to do it. Mike, anything last to get off your chest about the draft? Because you, obviously you're going to replace me. So if you want to make any final thoughts now before Jamie Drysdale takes over as host, get them off your chest now.
Well, you know, Jamie Drysdale was just unbelievable, Adam. I mean, he had all the right things to say. He was giving us so, you know, he just sounded like a scout to me, didn't he? It was perfect. Perfect. But yeah. You're irreplaceable, Adam. How about that?
Yeah. Until next time, Mike Morial and NHL Draft Class, you are dismissed.